Welcome to Life, Lessons, and Laughter with your host, Glenn Ambrose.
Hello, everybody.
What's happening? I feel like I'm a little bit dark. Let's see if I can lighten this up a little. Lighten up, man. Lighten up. Oh, well, I think that's as good as it's going to get. So here we are. Welcome, welcome. Who's here? Talk to me. Speak to me. Comment to me. April. Hey, April. So where are you watching from, April? I forgot. I think you've told me, but so today is going to be more off the cuff than usual. I just got off with a client about 7 minutes ago. So this is really last minute, and I didn't have any idea for the topic before like 3 minutes ago. Hey, Susan from Little Rock, Arkansas. Nice. And April from Canada, Kamsack. I don't know a lot of places in Canada though, even though 3/4 of my hometown was French Canadian, including my family. But yeah, so today is definitely really off the cuff, last minute, even more than usual. So I was just sitting here and I'm like, all right, what should I talk about? And what came to me was peace. And of course, love was right there. And then I started getting these flashes of some of the memes and the posts that have been happening lately over the last few days, namely. And I was like, oh, so I screenshotted some of them as I saw them and I liked them. And I just kind of touched on them and I'm like, oh, there's a theme here. There's a theme here. So what I'm going to do is kind of use that as a theme. And what's beautiful is the theme really coincides with what's happening in the world right now, you know, with the, especially, I mean, a lot of things that are happening in the world right now, quite frankly. But you know, right at this particular time, the newest flavor of dysfunction is the war, you know, with Russia and Ukraine. So this has captured everybody's attention, and this has the, you know, I mean, it's war for Christ's sakes. So, I mean, you know, that is about as clear a topic as you're going to get, like war. I mean, you know, we've been, and I understand the, you know, the horrors. I mean, thank God, not firsthand. But I do understand horrors of war, and I think I'm fairly realistic about what transpires in a war, and how horrible it actually is. So that, you know, I'm going to preface everything by saying that, because, you know, anybody that listens to me knows that I'm talking from a straight spiritual perspective. So I'm talking, you know, I'm just going to channel the information that's coming through me about the topic of peace and love, and how it plays out. You know, I'm very solution oriented, and I'm not, you know, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to, I will send out love. I will send out peace. I'll pray for peace. I will do many other little things that I decide to do that I think are energetically helpful. But what I won't do is I'm not going to be walking around feeling bad for people, because that doesn't help them. And that's really the only reason. It doesn't help them if I feel bad. I can think about the situation. I can have compassion and I can be like, wow, if it was up to me, they wouldn't have to go through that stuff, but it's not up to me. That's reality. So it's, you know, first, if we're going to have this conversation, we have to weed through the emotion of the situation. The emotion is what clouds our vision, because emotion is there for a purpose, but to gain clarity and make intelligent decisions and move in the right direction, that's not the purpose of emotion. You know, emotion has its uses, but it's not for that. So we have to push the emotion to the side and be like, you know, I mean, if anybody thinks that war is not horrible, or what people are experiencing over there is not, you know, a nightmare and atrocious and shouldn't be happening. Well, come on now. Of course it shouldn't be happening. So, you know, first I'd send all that compassion and love to the people that are going through this. And quite frankly, on both sides, because war doesn't benefit anybody. So because it's the wrong energy, it's fighting, it's killing. That's what war is, you know? So like you can't fight for peace. This is, you know, something that we have to understand. If we're ever going to live in a world other than the one that we live in, we have to be realistic about stuff, you know? And I mean, one of the sayings is like, freedom isn't free. That's a load of crap. It's exactly free. It's even in the word. So no. So all the killing that we've done has not made us free. I understand that we live in a messed up world and people aren't fully conscious and people are functioning from their ego and unconsciousness. And therefore, I understand until we change the world, the paradigm of the world that we live in, this is our reality. And I don't like it any more than anybody else does. But I do not pretend to say that it's correct. You know, anybody that says freedom isn't free, that's rationalizing killing and murder and hatred and anger and negativity. That is not true. You can't rationalize that. And like I said, until you get that through, there's really no common ground to stand on. If you think you have to kill in order for there to be peace, then you shouldn't be listening to me. Or maybe you should, if you can keep your mind open and hear a different perspective. That's cool. You know, it's okay if you think that now, as long as you don't think that at the end of the podcast. So yeah, we can't fight for peace. We can't throw negativity up against the wall and have love fall down. Like it's just, it's a different vibration. So what we need is love, you know, and at some point we need to understand that that's what we need. And we need to deal with things in other ways. And this is what I'm trying to talk about today. I'm trying to talk about the vibrational reality, the real reality, the eternal reality, the reality that it's like you have to get a clear understanding of the foundation before you can work off of it, you know, because we're conditioned by society to think all this stuff is normal, man. I watched, you know, maybe it was in preparation of this, of this show, but like the other day I watched, that movie, Geronimo, and just seeing, you know, what we did to the Native Americans when we came over here. And, it's just, you know, we romanticize this stuff and we're taught to romanticize it in school. You know, the ideas that we were taught in school was, you know, Columbus was a hero. And, you know, and I see it very clearly over here in the Dominican Republic. Like most people don't think of him like that, you know, because he just went around the world killing all the indigenous people and taking them over, you know. So it's, you know, this is what has been in the forefront of controlling our reality here on Earth for, you know, probably 100,000 years. I was actually looking at that the other day too. I was like, you know, there's Homo sapiens, then there's Homo sapiens sapiens. And I was kind of looking at like, well, how long has Homo sapiens sapiens been on Earth? And you know, what they're estimating was somewhere around 90,000 years or something, give or take, maybe up to 120,000 or something. So around 100,000 years, we've had what we would classify as intelligent human life on the planet. And it's largely been dominated by the ego, by greed, and by acquisition mentality and power. And I mean, that, you know, that hasn't worked, obviously, because look at where we are. So it hasn't worked. So we do need a new paradigm. And to usher in that new paradigm, I think we have to understand the foundation. So like some of the, I posted something, I don't know, a few days ago or something. And let's see what, I just had it, but I lost it. But it's right here. Peace is the result of retraining your mind to process life as it is rather than as you think it should be. You know, so the fact that it says peace in there, and I mean, this is, you know, I wasn't particularly talking about the war situation, but, you know, somebody commented on it and brought up the war situation. And what, you know, I'm trying to figure out the simplest way to phrase this. You know, that this quote by Wayne Dyer is very brief. Peace is the result of retraining your mind to process life as it is rather than as you think it should be. So, you know, the comment that I'm speaking of was saying, well, I don't like the way life is. It's like, well, right, I know. So you're thinking, you don't like the way life is. You want it to be in a way other than it is. So as long as you're in that resistance, you're suffering, you're struggling against reality. So there is no peace. Okay. So what I'm trying to explain here is that as we need to be the change we wish to see in the world. I've been saying this a billion times. We need to be peace. Like, how does peace come? Like, how could we create a new paradigm? We create a new paradigm by being a new paradigm. Like where, how are we going to create a peaceful world? By having peaceful people in a world. That's how. And we have to understand the way we are thinking, the things that we are so unconscious, the things that we accept as normal, like going to war. And people get that, you know, people look at this war like it's, you know, it's so horrible and all this stuff. We've been at war most of my life, just the United States. Like little, at most times there are upwards of 40 wars going on all around the world consistently. Like that, and it has been for a long period of time. So like my point is we, if we are the change we wish to see, if we change ourselves and then other people change themselves and other people change themselves, why? Just because this isn't working and we're finally able to see it. We are in the information age. Nobody knew how messed up we were until now. But like you didn't know what was going on the other side of the country. I mean, on the other side of the world. True, not even on the other side of the country a lot of times, but let alone on the other side of the world. We have access to information all around the world now. We know how messed up the world is. You know, so this, all this technology and all this stuff is pushing us towards change because we can see what's wrong clearer. Okay. So we have to be the change, though. We can't sit there and point the finger Because when we're sitting here pointing a finger going, they're jerks. They shouldn't be doing this. You know, he's the new Hitler. Like, what does that do? It doesn't do anything. All it does is spread hate. That's all it does. It puts out frustration and anger. What I'm saying is pay attention to your energy. We're sitting in a messed up world with a bunch of messed up stuff going on, right? And if we're all messed up inside, guess what we're bringing into the world? More messed up. Like at some point, we have to start taking responsibility for our own energy, our own lives, our own experiences. We are made as individuals and we have free will for a reason. You know, this is the basis of our relationships. We have, I mean, of our relationship with the universe, with the world is, you know, we have domain over our own experiences in our own world and our own energy. And we have to start taking responsibility for that. We have to start bringing peace into the world. When we start talking about peace, when we start acting peaceful, when we start interacting with other people peacefully, when we start standing up for peace, you're not going to get rid of war by fighting against it. You're just going to expand it. Just like the war on drugs, just like the war on poverty, whatever we declare war on, it expands. Why? Because we're putting hate, we're putting energy, just energy. Even if it's anti-war, we're putting energy towards the topic. So if we, you know, if we declare war on poverty, we're not going to have any more poverty. We're going to declare war on it. We're going to fight against it. Energy towards poverty. Poverty expands. War on drugs. Drugs expand. It's because we're putting energy towards the topic. So we have to stop putting our energy towards war. Stop putting our energy towards negativity and hate and start putting it towards peace. You know, we're sitting here going like, why would somebody declare war on innocent people? I don't know. Why are you on Facebook spreading hate? Because it's acceptable. That's why. That's why we do it. And we have to start ushering in this new paradigm. We have to start functioning from peace. And it starts with us. You know, we are way more powerful than we give ourselves credit for. You know, Gandhi didn't change anything. Martin Luther King Jr. didn't change anything. Nelson Mandela didn't change anything. They were the figureheads that ended up changing things. And they did some things right and they led. But to change something that big that they did, that energy needed to come from somewhere. It needed to come from people believing in their message. It needed people actually believing that it was possible. That's the energy that fed their movements. Now, yes, they were the figureheads of it. And yes, they did some amazing things right, which turned into the change. But they were the figurehead. The amount of energy you need to use to change the reality for an entire country is immense. One person doesn't have that. It's collective. It's collective energy. We need to be the change we wish to see. We need to be peaceful. We need to stop spreading this hate. We need to stop just viciously lashing out in anger and then going, I don't understand why we live in such an angry world. It's because everybody's angry. That's why. Because you, I mean, you know, it's become well, at this stage in history, it's become a divisive thing. I mean, I think more people are, well, at least more people in the United States are bonding and other countries are bonding over Russia being bad this time. But most of the controversies that we've been teaming, the controversies that have been transpiring in our world lately, most of what you just pick a side and somebody else picks another side and then you defend. You fight and defend, and you fight and defend. That's basically what it's been. Now we have a common enemy. Most people think Russia's wrong, so you know they're bad and they're bad, and then you know, so you can point the finger at somebody else and call them a jerk, and then anybody that sees you call them a jerk. Hey, I think they're a jerk, and this person thinks they're a jerk. So now we're friends because we both think that Russia's a jerk. So now we can bond, and nobody feels like they're better than one another, and it's safe, and we can complain and bitch about Russia, and then we can bond like that because we've forgotten how to bond with one another. So we bond over negativity because there's no risk. You know, if you say anything uplifting, I mean, this is how it's perceived. It's not the truth. When you say anything uplifting, we think that people are going to like think that we're better than them. So those, you know, uplifting stuff isn't safe because then somebody might think that I'm happy and maybe they're not happy. So therefore they're going to feel worse about themselves. So I can't say anything uplifting because that can cause somebody else to feel bad. This is actually the unconscious belief system that keeps us complaining all the time because it helps us bond with one another because we don't bond well. And of course it doesn't work because all we're doing is spouting negativity. We're just feeding negativity into the world, you know? So we have to feed this positivity. We have to start we have to start acting differently. So I'm going to touch on some of the, and you know, feel free if you guys got any comments on this stuff. And hey, Pam, good to see you. Oh, Pam's in San Antonio. Ooh, for the moment. Nicole, yeah, it's like having sex to support virginity. It just doesn't work. So let's see some of these other memes and stuff that I saw that were, oh, this, you know, this gets right. Yeah, I'm going to save that one. I'm not going to tell you guys which that one is yet. This one was interesting. I don't know who said it, but this, my dear, is the greatest challenge of being alive, to witness the injustice of this world and not allow it to consume our light. The greatest challenge of being alive, to witness the injustice of this world and not allow it to consume our light. That's huge. There is injustice in this world, and we lived in a messed up world. Accept it. That's the reality. That doesn't mean you agree with it. It just means that you accept the reality of it. We can still move towards change. But as long as we're sitting here going, oh, it shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be like it is. It is. It's like this. And it's been like this for 100,000 years. So I don't know why everybody's acting all surprised. Like what? We haven't had a war in what? 8 years or something? Not even. We haven't had a war in 4 years. So like people like forgot that there's wars. There's been wars for hundreds of thousands of years. Like this is the reality in which we lived in. So let's start trying to do something that changed. I don't know. We've been complaining for 100,000 years. That doesn't seem to do it. So maybe we could do something different. Maybe we can try to take responsibility for our own energy. And we can actually not allow the dysfunction of the outside to dim our light. We can't allow the situations on the external to make us angry, to make us unloving, to make us into what is out there. Out there is hate and anger and frustration. And what we're going to do is we're going to get angry and frustrated and act like it does something. All it does is it feeds the anger and the hate that's already here. This is why we've stayed here for the last 100,000 years. Because you get a bunch of hate and anger, and then you got people complaining and bringing more hate and anger towards it. Going, well, look at how upset I am. I must be a good person. I must care. I must care that there's a... If you're not angry, then you don't care. This is what they tell us. If I'm not angry, so that means that I don't care that there are people in the Ukraine dying? Of course I care. Of course I have compassion. I don't want to see anybody dying. Just because I'm not angry, feeding the exact energy that's causing their death, you're going to point the finger at me and say I'm the problem? Do you see how absurd that is? I'm the problem. I'm peace and love. And I'm the reason that hate is blossoming. Doesn't make any sense. But they stand there and get angry and fight and yell and scream and point the finger. And then they go, well, I'm part of the solution. Really? What are you solving? What are you doing? Didn't solve anything. Less people didn't die because of you. I mean, if you want to follow the energy trail, probably more people died. Why? Because we're feeding the energy. If you're living in a world where, let's just, you know, I'm not going to get into the numbers game, but let's just say 51% of the people really worked on their peace. And something like this was happening. And 51% of the people went, excuse me, like, this isn't right, man. We can't be doing stuff like this. Like, you know, what I think what we need to start doing to wrap our brains around this is we need to start taking what's happening in the macrocosm and stop thinking that it's outside of us. Stop thinking that it's like we have nothing to do with it. Stop thinking that it's like we're all part of humanity. What happens on this earth, we are a part of. And I understand that it seems like it's the slower way. But we have to start somewhere. We have to start creating a new reality here. So we have to start bringing in love. We have to start being peaceful, because if we were a peaceful group of people, this wouldn't be happening. So like, what would happen if somebody walked up to your door and stuck a gun in your hand and said, go kill your neighbor? Or, you know, it won't be your neighbor because maybe you've made a personal connection with them. So I'm going to drive you over the border to a different country, or I'm going to drive you to a different state, to a place where, and I'm telling you, these people are bad. They're not good people. So what I want you to do is go kill them and their families. So go ahead. Now, how many of you would do that? Not too many, I bet. I know I wouldn't. You know, but this is what we do as a collective in our worlds all the time. And we romanticize it. You know, this is what Russia is doing now. This is what the United States has done countless times. This is what all the other countries have been doing. You know, this is what, like, if we slow down and stop having it so big and just bring it back into the microcosm to wrap our brain around what we're doing. We are living in a world where we are taking people, like, I mean, PTSD is such a good example of this. We can't live like this anymore, man. Look at the numbers of PTSD that are coming back from wars. It's off the charts. Because our psyches can't take it. It's even worse than it ever was, most likely. You know, I don't know this for sure, but I know the sensitivity levels are rising in human beings. It's part of a spiritual shift that's happening. And I'm sure there was lots of PTSD in every war that's ever occurred. But I bet you the numbers are even higher now because the people are more sensitive. We can't live in a world where we're running around killing each other anymore. We just can't. It doesn't fit into the new paradigm that's birthing into this reality. It's just not going to work. So we have to stop doing it and going, you know, like, I mean, I don't put any blame on our soldiers, because I think that, you know, it's a social conditioning that around our whole society in globally that has gotten to the point where we believe this is normal. And where fighting for our country is, you know, a good thing, and they have the best intentions and they're going in. And I mean, you know, and also, for, I guess this is my little moment of clarity. The other thing I'm not suggesting is that we just disband our army tomorrow and all our defenses. You know, I mean, I think that would be irrational and foolish. because it's just not the world we're living in. I would like to see us get to that point someday, but it's not where we are now. You know, so I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we need to start bringing in peace by changing the way we view things and what's normal. You know, it's like, I mean, I think that we should still honor our soldiers that have gone through these difficult situations that our warped society has put them in. So, you know, I have nothing but respect for our military and the militaries around the world, quite frankly, because these people are being put in situations where they have to kill another person by some knucklehead in a freaking suit telling the country that it's necessary. And everybody in the country goes, oh, well, it must be necessary then. No, it's not. You go kill 13 people. Go do it. You go stand in front of them and blow their heads off and see if you can sleep at night. See if you got PTSD. And then after you go through that, maybe then you can stand in the Oval Office and tell other people to go to war. You know, I'm sure it would happen a lot less. I mean, I understand we've had some war heroes in the Oval Office too, so it doesn't work with everybody, but but back to the solution. You know, I just wanted to be clear. I mean, I'm because that's where the ego goes. Oh, well, we're supposed to disband all the military now because Glenn said. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we need to not let it consume our light. If we expect there to be light and love in this world, how is it going to come in? Like, have you guys seen a portal of love anywhere? I haven't seen one. Like, have you seen, like, you know, that have, like, do the rivers bring love into the world? I mean, like, where do we expect it to come from? It comes from us. And if we are not vibrating at the rate of love, if we're not vibrating at the rate of peace, if we're not acting like it in our everyday scenarios, this is how we bring it in. We are vibrational beings. If you have 8 billion vibrational beings, guess what they make up? A collective vibration. If 8 billion people are used to war and that vibration is acceptable, it's acceptable. If more people are vibrating at the rate of peace and love, and then you try to bring war in, it's like completely incongruent. It's not going to fly. You know, and we don't need 51%. I was, you know, again, I'm not going to jump into a numbers game, but, you know, there's the 20-80 rule that 20% determines what the other 80% do. It's probably more along those lines. But even if it isn't, like, if you want to live in a world different than this, then you have to start acting like it. We have to start being peace in our everyday lives. We have to start acting. We have to start paying attention to what we're saying and why we're saying it, and stop living so unconsciously and stop just hopping on the bus. And I'm not saying we have to do it perfectly. I mean, heck, there's probably a few things that I said in this podcast already that weren't very loving. You know, I'm not saying we have to do it perfectly. What I'm saying is we have to make an effort to do it. We have to embody peace. So let's see another one of these things. Oh, yeah. George Orwell, 1984. They fear love because it creates a world they can't control. This is what I'm talking about. They fear love because it creates a world they can't control. You can't control it, man. You can't control love. Again, look at Gandhi. Look at MLK Jr. Look at, like, they came from love. And that's what made the change. They didn't fight against their perceived enemy. They connected with them and talked through things. You know, this is what I'm talking about. They do fear love because they can't control it. If there's a bunch of us that are just loving and we're just like, we're impeach him, get him out. Well, you can't impeach. Yeah, Yeah, we're going to impeach him. No, oh, we can't. Okay, well, we're going to get all of you people that say that we can't impeach him. We're getting you out, okay? You're all gone. Okay, cool. Now we can impeach him. All right, we impeach you. Gone. Like, it doesn't matter what it takes. It doesn't matter what the rules are. We'll change them when we're standing in love, because love has strength. Love is immovable. Love isn't this syrupy romantic version that a lot of people think it is. I mean, that's a version of it, but that's not what real solid truth and love is. It's strong. It stands its ground. It stands the test of the time. You can't beat love. You can't beat it. You can't. You can kill it and you still can't beat it because it's eternal. Which leads me to the next one. Gandhi. When I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love have always won. There have been tyrants and murderers, and for a time, they can seem invincible. But in the end, they always fall. Think of it. Always. They always fall. Fear never lasts. It has to feed on something. Fear has to feed on something. This is what's going on in the world right now. It's just fear, you know, like, well, you know, we got COVID and we got we got aliens and we got war and we got, you know, everywhere you look, there's something different to keep you fearful. Why? Because you can be controlled if you're fearful. People like, I'm not fearful. I'm just, I don't even know what they say anymore. Either that, or maybe I just, my spirit knew better than I did to go down that alley. But truth and love have always won. Now this, you know, this is, I think what's important here is, I mean, hopefully you guys listen to me because you find the way I say things to be interesting, but like, you know, what I talk about is nothing new. It's not theory. I don't talk about theory. I talk about facts. You know, people will, the most misconceived BS, I think, in our society right now is that spirituality is woo-woo. You know, oh, this, you know, that stuff Glenn's talking about is out there, man. It's woo-woo. It doesn't really have any substance to it. Really? That's baloney. Everything that I talk about has substance to it. And as a matter of fact, it has more substance than the so-called reality out there. Reality doesn't have any substance, not the way that it's lived. You know, like, I mean, people go all kinds of things. You know, you have to work hard if you're going to get anywhere. You know, you want to make money, work hard. Really, the people I see working the least make the most money. So how does that hold water? Show me that. So that guy out on the golf course whacking down beers and doing shots when he's making million-dollar deals, that guy's working harder than the guy digging a ditch. Is this what you're telling me? Because hard work, that's what gets everything. This guy has nothing. He hasn't had anything for generations. But people who don't work hard have all the things. So apparently working hard doesn't get you things. This is what I mean. Everything in society is like that. If you put it under a microscope and you pay attention to what you've been taught, it doesn't hold water. It doesn't make sense. It's not legitimate. It's not logical. That's woo-woo. People telling you that, you know, go to the most expensive college, get the best grades, and then you'll be happy. That's woo-woo, man. That's BS. It's simply not true. And it doesn't, you can't prove it because it's not true. But like, you look, what I'm talking about, you have people like Gandhi, MLK Jr., Nelson Mandela, and others throughout history that have taken these principles, implemented them, gotten the energy from their followers to hop on board, believe their love message that they were preaching, that they were saying, get that energy and incite massive social change. This is how it's always occurred, and you can prove it systematically over and over and over and over. This is how it's worked. Then you take war. Okay, well, war is socially acceptable. Hey, you just got to fight for freedom sometimes. Really? Are you free? Are you free? I don't know anybody that's truly free. Not truly, not yet. I mean, we're working towards it. The spiritual people I know that are working towards it. And some of them might even be there already. But truly free? There's nobody in any developed country that's free. Not even close. And if, you know, I'm from the United States, it's now being in another country. My God. I'm like, there is zero freedom. Everything is controlled in the United States. Everything. It's absurd. It's horrible. You know, but I didn't even know that when I was over there until I moved over here, until I traveled. And United States free. I already had some issues with it, but it was like, well, you know, hey, at least there's some freedom. And why did I think that there was freedom in the United States? Because I was taught that there was, you know, and I was taught Columbus was a hero. And I was taught that we came over here and we were running from this horrible existence in England, and we came over here and we created this majestic country. It's like, oh my God, we came over here and killed every person that didn't align with us. I mean, you know, and the atrocities we did to the people that were here, it's just disgusting. And to think back on that romantically is a lie, quite frankly. So this is the type of stuff that, you know, that we're just so conditioned to think it. It's like we have to start stepping away from that stuff. You know, if there's anything that I talk about that somebody wants to have a conversation with, email me. You know, if I will sit down and have a conversation with anybody if necessary, you know. I mean, within reason, it's not going to become my part-time job, but yeah, it's, you know, why? Because I can prove this stuff works. I can prove how things play out through my own experience. I can prove it through other people's experiences. I can prove it throughout history. And the alternative, nobody can prove to me how it works, because it doesn't. You can't prove to me that being hateful and angry gives us a better world. And this is what I'm talking about. It doesn't. It doesn't. And what we need to do is stop lying to ourselves and saying like, oh, well, I'm not part of it. I'm just mad because there's bad people. No, you're mad because you're mad. It's your life. It's your world. And you're in control of your emotions. You're in control of your life. You're in control of your reality. You're in control of your energy. And as long as you're bringing anger and hatred into this world, you're part of the problem. Period. And again, it's not, we don't have to do it perfectly. You know, that's been alluded to. We don't need perfect faith. You know, all we need is the faith of a mustard seed. We don't need perfect action. We just need a majority. What we need to be doing is we need to be vibrating at the rate of love more than we're vibrating at the rate of hate. That's it. And we're not. We're not there yet. You know, but we're getting there. We're getting there. I don't, you know, like, I'm trying to tell you guys what we need to do and why we need to do it. I don't want to imply that we're not already doing it. We are. We're leaning in a direction. You know, there is a spiritual awakening happening. People are coming to the understanding that this doesn't work. Quite frankly, one of the reasons that there's so much controversy in the world right now is because there needs to be. You know, somebody, a friend of mine said this on their post, and it's not the first time I heard it, but it's you know, often there's a, man, I just said this recently. Often there is a breakdown before there's a breakthrough, right? And I've heard that before. But when this person mentioned it, it really brought it to the surface. It's like, yes, this is what's going on in the world. There is a breakdown. Good, because what we had sucked. So good, let it all fall away. Let it fall apart, let it implode, let it explode, whatever the hell it needs to do so it ain't there anymore, let's do that. Good. What are we trying to save? You know, there's the world is completely trashed. The way we interact with one another is not like human beings. We treat others as if they're other. And, you know, it's like I said, it's nothing new. This has been happening for 100,000 years. But like it's now we can see it. And now everybody's going like, oh, my God, like this is horrible. There's no safety. I don't want to live like this. Good. Good. You don't want to live like this? Good. Welcome. Welcome to the party. You know, that's the biggest catalyst for change. People don't hire a life coach because everything's hunky-dory in their lives. They hire a life coach because they can't take the suffering anymore. And they're understanding that they need to expose themselves to a different perspective. You know, it's Einstein. Einstein said you can't solve a problem with the consciousness that created it. So we need a different consciousness. We need a different way to look at things. That is what's going to solve the problem, because the way we've been looking at things doesn't solve it. And quite frankly, we don't have another 200 years to sit on this planet trying the old way. Like, do you see it doesn't work? I mean, what we've been doing, the way we live, war and all that stuff, it doesn't work. I mean, look at where we've ended up. Thousands of years later, hundreds of thousands of years later, this is where we are. Something's wrong with the formula. You know, if this is what our way of thinking has gotten us to now, this is where we are. There's something wrong with the way we're thinking. So we need to change that. We need a different perspective. And where does that come from? It's come from sages and prophets and spiritual leaders for the last 100,000 years. They've been out here telling us. You know, none of this stuff that I teach is new. None of the stuff anybody else is teaching is new. Eckhart Tolle, you know what he teaches new? Nada. Nothing. Deepak Chopra, Michael Bernard Beckwith, all my favorite teachers, Michael Singer, know what they teach that's new? Nothing. Because there isn't anything new in truth. Truth is eternal. Just like love, it's always been there and has always been people that have been able to see it and they've been talking to us. You know, one of the most beautiful things I heard was I was watching a show, and I think it may have been one of the like 9 shows in the Sixth Sun series. Time of the Sixth Sun series. If it's not this, that's still a good series to watch, but I think it was this. And what it was is it was this, I believe it was a Native American woman, and she was talking about, I think there was a couple of people that said it, but I think it was her that really nailed it well. And she was saying that the Native American culture, the spiritual truths that they knew being before the Europeans came over, and when there was some semblance of peace and ancient wisdom, It was ancient wisdom that was passed generation to generation. And what they did, and Don Miguel Ruiz said the same thing with the Toltecs. They put their knowledge underground, and they stopped passing it along and giving it to outsiders because it was just being used against them. The world wasn't ready for it. And what they said was that right now, what the Native Americans were doing were forgiving, and they have been forgiving the rest of the people for doing what they did to them when they came over here. And the reason that they were forgiving was because they knew this time was coming to where their ancient wisdom was going to be needed, because it's ancient, it's eternal, it's timeless, it's truth. It's the way we're actually supposed to live in community and in love with one another. That's they know how to do things like that. They actually know how to interact with the earth in healthy ways. They know all kinds of indigenous cultures know this stuff. So a lot of them have been just keeping their mouths shut and or hiding this knowledge, because anytime anybody got a hold of it, they either destroyed the records of it, they killed the people that were passing it down generation to generation, whatever. It was, you know, whatever happened, it wasn't good. So they hid it and waited until this stuff, until we got to the crescendo, which we are at now. So what they're doing is they're forgiving the past so they can step up and give us this ancient wisdom because we need it. I mean, that's beautiful. You know how beautiful that is? The atrocities that were committed against them, the murders, the killing, the brainwashing of, you know, destroying their culture and their spirituality and their language to try to get them to fall in line and become part of the system, and all this stuff that was done to them for generations, and shoving them on reservations and all this stuff. And what they're doing, of course, not all of them, but, you know, the really spiritually centered are really trying to forgive and working on forgiving what's been done to them so that they can save us. So that they can save us, because they know we're all one. You know, this is, and they're not the only ones. This ancient information is bubbling up all around the globe. If you look into it, it's a beautiful thing. You know, this is one of the reasons why I have so much hope. You know, like I understand that. I understand my podcast is probably not reaching that many people who are on that spiritual level. Like, you know, some indigenous people way, you know, in the backwoods somewhere that are living this stuff and really working to create a new paradigm and all that stuff. You know, they're probably not listening to my podcast. And I'm probably not telling them anything they already don't know, right? They don't need to listen to my podcast. So what I'm doing is I'm talking to my audience. I'm talking to people who are on the spiritual path or at least curious about it and want to understand the dynamics of it a little bit better and how it works. And like, is there another way to look at this stuff? Yes, that's what I'm here to show you. You know, so this is why I'm talking the way that I'm talking. You know, I'm trying to meet people where they are. Now I'm meeting hundreds of thousands of people possibly. So, you know, a lot of people aren't going to like what I'm saying. A lot of people will, and that's fine. That's their own prerogative. But if you're resonating with this and you're understanding that you can draw a line to the way we act in our daily lives, the fact that 90% of the people swear when they get cut off, that's a problem. It's a problem that we can work on in our society individually as individuals. You know, the way that we've gotten to the point, like over here in the Dominican, it's different. You know, it's like taking a step back in time. It's like 100 years ago or something over here. So, and the people are happier and the pace is slower and you can tell the difference. Like somebody came, I was at a restaurant with a friend of mine and this couple came in and they were just kind of standing in a doorway, outdoor place anyway, but they weren't, it seemed like they really weren't sure what to do, if they should have a seat or whatever. But I was sitting right there and, you know, they just walked in. So I looked at them and I went, said hi. And you could tell by their reaction that they were from the United States, which I didn't know by looking at them. And I was like, and they were like, why did this person just say hi to me? And then like, I'm so used to saying hi and being friendly because that's the culture over here. And I kind of did it in the United States anyway. Like I just kind of looked at him. Hey, and I didn't look away right away. And he kind of looked confused, looked away, and then looked back. And I was still looking at him because it only took a second. And then he started feeling uncomfortable. So he kind of let out this weird hi, like, I don't understand what's happening. But hi, I guess, you weirdo. Like, kind of one of those vibes. And I'm not, it's fine. I mean, whatever. But I was thinking, I was like, oh, wow, I bet you're from the United States. And it is. And then the waitress comes over, greets them. They start talking in English. And yeah, it was like, of course, yeah, they're from the United States. But this is my point is this is what's wrong with the world. The problem in the world is not that there's a war in Russia. That is a symptom. We have to stop treating the symptom and start treating the cause. The cause is that we don't even know how to interact with each other. We don't know what it's like to be nice. We don't know. And everybody go on social media. Oh my God, this drives me absolutely insane. You go on social media and everybody's on there going like, oh my God, I'm a nice person. I wish more people were nice. Jerks. You literally just called people jerks after saying that you were a nice person. Like, look in the mirror. It's us. It's the only thing we have to control. We're so used to blaming other people for everything that we won't take blame ourselves. We won't take responsibility for ourselves in anything. This is the biggest problem with my generation. It's global. But my generation, nothing is our fault. I can't believe my whole generation isn't an alcoholic, because that's one of the reasons I was an alcoholic, because I can take responsibility for my life. I'm surprised it's not more. But that's what legal drugs are for, to prevent you from becoming an alcoholic. Because it sure as hell doesn't fix anything. You know, we're masters of distraction. We are busy with our jobs. We are busy taking our kids to 13 soccer games, 42 oboe lessons, and 17 track meets, and 42 art classes a week. And we're, you know, trying to keep them out of trouble in between games. And we're addicted to Candy Crush, and we're addicted to social media, and we're addicted to sex, and we're addicted to relationships. And we're addicted to absolutely everything that distracts us. And why are we addicted to those things that distract us? It's because the spiritual awakening is happening. Spiritual awakening is coming up within us, and it's shining lights on things that we need to change. That's what's happening. It's shining lights on things we need to change. And we don't like the way it feels, because it feels very uncomfortable. When it starts bubbling up and you're like, I don't really like my life, or I don't like the way things are happening, or I don't like the way I'm treated at work, or I'm not really in a happy marriage, or I don't have any fulfillment in my life. When these things are happening, we distract ourselves and we keep ourselves busy. You know, and this is the problem. We need to slow down and start actually making the change that we wish to see. We have to actually start being more kind and more courteous to one another. We have to stop putting stuff out on social media. Even that, just be conscious of what you're putting out. If it's not loving, then don't put it out. Like, we, for some reason, we think that facts are more important than the world we're creating. Okay, so maybe this might be a perspective that helps some of you. We think that facts are important, and they're not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that the world is messed up. If we sit here and focus, yes, the world is horrible and there's war, and that's fact, and we have to be in that, and we have to accept that. It's fact. So what does that do? If we just ruminate in that and sit in that, oh, yes, there's anger. Screw anger. There's hatred. Yes. And then we allow ourselves to be angry and hateful. Like, how does that benefit anything? All it does is it creates a new, more of the same. Like, our next reality is the same as this reality. Why? Because we're putting out the energy of it. That's why. We're putting out the energy of negativity and anger, and we're getting back negativity and anger. So it doesn't matter where we are. It matters where we're going. Like, where are we going? What do we need to do to try to create a better world? What do we need to do? We need to bring in energy that's different than the energy that's here now. That's what we need to do. So what kind of energy? Well, loving energy, peaceful energy, joyful energy. If we, this is the dichotomy of it. It's like we think if we're happy, like, then we're not facing reality. If we're loving and we're kind and we're joyful, then our head's buried in the sand and we're not paying attention to reality. That's not true. You know, look at the Book of Joy is a great book. Everybody should read this. It's the Dalai Lama and Bishop Desmond Tutu. And those are two of the happiest human beings I've ever seen on this planet, I think. I mean, those two are always laughing, always smiling. And what did they do? What was their lives' work? Their lives' work was spiritual leaders of communities that were going through horrible atrocities, murders and killing. And they're the spiritual spearhead of those groups. They're the people that people were looking to for guidance, not only politically, but spiritually. And there are two of the happiest people on the planet. Two of the people that laughed more than anybody. What were they doing? They're bringing in love. That's what they were doing. And they're also two of the most compassionate people that I've ever seen. Because a lot of people confuse sympathy with compassion. You know, compassion is understanding. It's going, wow, I get what's happening over there. And I wish it wasn't happening. I wish those people didn't have to go through that. It's just, I understand that the difficulty, and so, I mean, not fully understand. Of course, you can never fully understand unless you're in their shoes, and we don't want to be there because they're going through atrocities. But just to have your heart open and to go, oh my goodness, I want to send love to them. Oh my God, like, geez, I wish this didn't have to happen to them right now, but it is. It's compassion. And if there's something that you can do to change it, then step up and do it. You know, there's a place for action. I'm not saying that we never take any action. What I'm saying is to open our hearts and to love first. Be compassionate for the people that are going through difficult times and get clear on what is going to change. That's what we need to do. Sitting here feeling bad for people, having sympathy and going, oh no, oh no. That just, it doesn't help them. It doesn't help them. And people are running around doing it, trying to make themselves feel like good people by doing it. I'm sorry, but that's the reality of it. It does not better the situation by doing that. So therefore, why does everybody do it? It's because they feel like a good person when they do it. If they go, oh my God, that's so horrible. What's going on over there? And their neighbor goes, yeah, it is. Now they bond, they feel good, and everybody feels like a good person. They go home and they put their head on the pillow and they go, I'm not killing anybody. I feel bad for the people that are getting killed. So therefore, I'm a good person. That's the I know nobody's conscious of this, but that's the unconscious record player that's going off. This is why people don't do things that don't work on some level. So we have to understand why it works. It works because it's feeding your ego. It's making you feel like a good person. it doesn't help them. It doesn't make you a good person. All it does is bring more sympathy and sadness and powerlessness into the world. That's all it does. So spend your energy being a beacon of love, being a beacon of light, working on your own energy, being courteous to one another, sharing positive stuff on social media, and not telling people that if you're a good person, you'll share positive stuff too. Just share your, just take care of your own street. My job's to do the podcast. So, so just bring love into every area of your life, wherever you can. That's your work. See, people often ask me, like, how can I make changes in my life? It's like, look around. That's how. Your boss pissing you off, that's an opportunity. Miscommunication with the spouse, that's an opportunity. Argument with your sister, that's an opportunity. Like, it's everywhere around us. We need to live it in our lives. And as we do, I'm telling you, people, it's going to bring more love into this world. It's working. It's actually already working. We're actually already doing this. It's just, I want more people to do it. I want more people to disconnect from a moment, for a moment, of what the social conditioning is telling you to do. Your social conditioning is telling you that you can't do anything to change the world, that this is how it is, that everything's filled with anger, and you should be angry too. That's what social conditioning is telling you. We need to break out of that paradigm. We need to start bringing more love into this world and start acting differently. Each one of us acting differently, acting out of love, going, no, man, it doesn't have to be war. Maybe there has to be war today, but there doesn't have to be war tomorrow. We can just bring in more love, bring in more love. And then what happens is when people feel love, they feel inspired and they feel empowered. And they're like, hey, maybe I can be loving too. Yeah. You know, this is it. Be the change you wish to see. Like, there's a saying in recovery. It says something like, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous is basically the recovery program in writing. It lays out the whole program, the 12 steps, all this stuff, right? So there's a saying in recovery that it says, you may be the only... I just lost the word. You might be the only representation of the big book that somebody may ever see. So act like it, you know? So what that means is that, like, maybe, you know, like when you're out there in recovery, act like you're in recovery, be a representation of what recovery is, because it might be the only version of recovery that some alcoholic or addict ever sees. And if you're sitting there bitching and moaning and pissing and whining about stuff all the time, then why is somebody going to want to get sober? What, I mean, you might be the only representation of what being sober looks like, and you're all pissed off all the time. You know, we're all going to go through our moods here and there. I've said this countless times today already. We don't have to be perfect at it, but what we need to do is put in some effort.
We're pretty negative, man. So, I mean, if we just added like 10% positivity and love in our own lives, and, you know, a million people did that, it'd be a huge change. We can't do this. And they've even proven that stuff. There's studies on meditation, and I think this, you know, I'm just going to throw some specifics out there, and I'm prefacing by saying this, the specifics probably are not correct. I'm just using them as an example. But there was, I think it was in the 70s maybe, where they did this study on meditation in Chicago, I believe. And it was right before the summer, and the crime was just off the charts. And they were like, oh my God. So they had people meditating on, I believe it was specifically peace. Again, I could be wrong. And they a certain amount of people were meditating on peace in Chicago. And that summer, instead of the crime rate going up, which it always did, it actually dropped. You know, so we have statistics now nowadays about this stuff. And that was just a small group of people. And it changed the violence in an entire gigantic city like Chicago. This is what I'm telling you guys. Like, we have studies that prove this stuff and prove it works. And we have historical facts that prove it works. Show me the studies that what we're doing works. You know, and what we're doing outside of being loving and peaceful and meditating and all this stuff, you know, that's what I'm presenting. Show me the evidence that other things bring us peace. Show me the evidence that war brings peace. Show me the evidence that when you fight for something, you end up in freedom. Show me the evidence of this stuff, because I don't see it. It's words. It's just a bunch of stuff that's been thrown at us so many times that we just absorb it unconsciously. And we don't even slow down to see if it's real or not. And if anybody challenges it, like, I guarantee you, if I was holding this conversation in front of a bunch of people, there would be hands going up left and right. Yeah, but Glenn, what about this? Oh, yeah, but. And what it is it's social conditioning. It's a load of crap. This is why I said, if there's somebody that actually really thinks that they have like an intelligent conversation and wants to have a conversation with me about this, I'd be happy to have them. Because it's not going to hold water unless you just push stuff aside and go, no, that's not true. But if you have an open mind, it's just obvious. Just look at the world. You know, it's obvious that what we're doing isn't working. That's proof enough. I don't even have to prove anything. It's just look around you. We in a good world? Nope. Tons of love? Nope. Okay. Well, then we need to do something differently. What should we do? I don't know. Maybe bring in more love. Huh? Maybe that. Maybe because if there's a lack of love, maybe the solution is to bring in more love, you know? So speaking of which, one of the things that I'm going to be doing is launch some group training, some group coaching, whatever the hell you want to call it. I'm going to be launching some group stuff soon. Some of the details are up on Glenn Ambrose Academy already, which there's a link to on my regular site, glennambrose.com. Or it's just glennambroseacademy.com. So you can find either one there. But check that out. I'm going to be discussing it really working on filling it this month. And I'm going to start it next month, okay, in April. So keep your eyes open for that. So before I wrap up, I'm going to just take a few minutes. Let's see, Pam. I've been to many places in the U.S. where if I said hello to someone in a restaurant, they would say hello back. Good. It's happened to me occasionally too. I've done it, you know, being in the Northeast, it's even more rampant that, I mean, sometimes they'll say hello back, but usually I get a weird look. Most of the time I got nothing in the Northeast. When I moved to Florida, surprisingly, it was actually the same. When I lived there before years ago, it seemed much friendlier. And I know I've actually heard some different experiences in Florida as of late. People have said that, oh, you know, no, I've people have been much more friendly down there and stuff. And I understand that because from my experience, the Northeast is notoriously standoffish. You kind of have to get in. I think it's because there's lots of small towns up there and everybody knows each other, you know, for the most part. So if you're not part of the group, there's this instant, who's this person? And I know I experienced that moving up from Florida to Rhode Island. It was difficult to get to know people, and I was going to recovery meetings and it was hard to get to know people. People didn't want to talk to me because I was an outsider. And I had to remind myself, Glenn, you grew up in Massachusetts. Like, that's the Northeast. Like, were people standoffish then? And I was like, oh yeah, man. I mean, if somebody was from out of town, we didn't trust them, you know? And I was like, oh yeah, okay. And then, you know, and you can get through it. I mean, there's, I mean, I'm not implying that there's no good in the United States. Of course, there's people that say hello. What I'm saying is that from my experience, I've noticed it over and over and over and over and over and over again, and have had many, many, many people express the same thing that were, you know, spiritual friendly path, and that they've noticed that when you say hello, people don't say hello back. You know, if you look at somebody and smile, they're just like, what's your problem? I mean, I can't count how many times. And I have pretty good energy. I'm not expecting it. Like, I expect people to be happy. I expect people to not do that. Really. Like, when I'm doing it, I'm in good space. So I'm just kind of like, hey. And then when they do it, I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, that's right. People act like that, you know? So it always surprises me when it happens. That's probably why it sticks into my head so much. but it never stopped me. You know, it's not going to stop me from being who I wanted to be. You know, I would still talk to people while I was out. And talking to people is a little bit different. You know, I'm just talking about the hello as the symptom that I was talking about. Talking with people, I found that if you come in genuinely loving, it's still, you can break through those walls pretty quickly with a lot of people. I was just in Florida and had several conversations. Well, granted, I was with my friend's cousin who's very outgoing, and we went there together, and both of us were just having, we probably had five different conversations with different people. That were wonderful conversations, people we didn't know, we'd never met before, you know? So, I mean, it's, you can break through that stuff. It's just, you know, what I'm talking about is it's symptoms of where we are. I mean, that's just a symptom. I mean, where we are is much deeper than that. You know, the levels of negativity that are embedded in our lives and distraction, that's the point. The point is that we are majorly distracted, and we are not friendly to one another, and we don't know what community is like as a general rule. That's, to me, that's a fact. I mean, like, and I mean, that's something that I would be happy to be in a debate if somebody disagrees. You know, I'll be happy to have a conversation about that. That's what I'm talking about. We are not in a healthy society that interacts with one another well. That's all I'm saying. Tony, good to see you. And Chris, thanks for tuning in. On point. Thank you, Tony. I'm still going to get angry at the squirrel that keeps eating my bird food. Well, maybe it's squirrel food, Tony, you know? I mean, maybe you just got to change your perspective, you know? Or you got to get one of those. I think, don't they have those like squirrel proof bird feeders? I was looking into getting one of those years ago. So, hey, you know, you just have two feeders, one for the squirrel and then one squirrel proof one for the birds. Anywho, it's all good. It's all good in God's neighborhood. So, this was a little intense. Hopefully I got some different perspectives out there, because that was the point, you know. Now that I'm off that point, you know, this is my version of love. You know, I love you guys. I love the fact that you're listening to this. I love the fact that you're opening up minds and exploring different things, even if not everything that I said clicked with you. Just toss it around, explore, find your own version. You know, that there's, if it doesn't make sense, look into it. You know, because I mean, really, this, one of the reasons why I get so hyped up about spirituality and love and peace and all this stuff, the way that I live my life, is because to me, it's the end all be all. I'm an extremist. So I like bottom core stuff. Like, I don't like talking about fluff. I have a very hard time doing it, and I'm getting worse and worse at it because I have no interest in it. I have no interest in specifics because there's no substance to it. It's like, I hate the weather. Oh, I hate rain. I hate sun. I hate warmth. I hate cold. I hate in the middle. I hate humid. Whatever, man. Then move to where you like it. You know, there's just no substance to any of this stuff. So like surfacey talk, it's just, I don't like it. It's just not my forte. So what I like is all the way is, if I like deep stuff, then I want to go all the way down and get the deepest stuff. And this is what I found in spirituality. I have found spiritual laws, universal laws that work every time, all the time, in every situation, always. If you can expand your mind to understand the concepts of them and the dynamics and how they work. What's bigger than that? Like, this is, I found the solution to living a miserable life. I found the way to live a happy, peaceful, joyous life. To me, everything else pales in comparison. You know, and I know part of the reason of that is because I'm supposed to be teaching this stuff. You know, it doesn't have to pale in comparison to everybody. It just pales in comparison to me because this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm not asking, you know, everybody to take it as seriously as I do or whatever, but I do ask you to slow down enough to look at this stuff, to think about this stuff and go, geez, it's worth a try. I mean, obviously what we've been doing for the last 100,000 years isn't working. So, and maybe there is a spiritual awakening happening. And why don't I at least try this stuff? So try it. That's all. Don't do, you know, the Buddhists say it. Other people say it. I say it. Don't do stuff because I said so. That's not your path. That's my path. So do it because it sounds like it might work or it might resonate with you or there might be some truth to it. Maybe. Then just experiment with it. What do you got to lose? Where are you going to, another recovery saying, we'll gladly refund your misery. Try living in a healthy way with more love and peace, right? And if it doesn't work, we'll gladly refund your misery. So this is my mentality. You have nothing to lose. If you're living in a life, and be honest with yourself, because most people are, we are living in a majority that is unhappy. So if you are unhappy and there's room for growth and there's room for more love, more joy, more peace in your life, then try these different perspectives and try being more love, being more peace. Try this stuff. And if it doesn't work, you can gladly go right back to the way you were being unhappy. If it does work, continue on. That's all, you know, and that's the beauty of this. It works in the microcosm and in the macrocosm. So let's just say, hypothetically, we don't change the world. Well, at least you'll be happy. It's got to be better than the way it is now. You know, do it for selfish reasons. I don't care. Just do it. You know, be the love. All right, everybody. Peace. Let's see. What do I got to click on here? The ending. That would make sense. All right. Peace, everybody. I got to fly. Talk to you later.
Looking for more? Check out over 200 episodes of Life Lessons and Laughter, or click the link in the description of this episode to connect with Glenn directly.